Now, as we look at our gospel lesson this morning, and you know what, it's a this is a topic that is woven throughout the Bible. Pride and humility, and I know I probably mention pride and humility often, but it is really a topic of many scripture passages. And as I go through this, I got some quotes from C.S. Lewis. I've enjoyed C.S. Lewis's writing, so I'm going to sprinkle a few in here. But first, I want to tell you a little story about my experience at work, and specifically Bill Marvin. You know, Bill Marvin would have had every opportunity to become haughty and proud, and my brief interactions with him, I did not get that impression of him. One of them, I worked in a receiving dock, and you know, we had a door that entered the plant where we worked, and we were kind of told, if somebody comes in that we don't recognize or whatever, to kind of just ask if we can help them, and not really challenge them. But so anyway, this guy comes in the door. He's wearing probably either worn out pair of blue jeans or whatever, probably, and a sweatshirt. And so he comes in, and I said, "Can I help you?" And as he gets closer to me, I saw it was Bill. and he said, "Oh no, I'm just," but the point is that, you know, he didn't come in he just came into the plant one evening to do whatever, and was this his right? But I did not recognize him because I wasn't used to seeing him in that type of garb. And the other one regarding him was, again, I was working receiving, and his office was in the front of the building, and he was up, so he could, you know, he would park his car sometimes in front of the receiving dock. And this is, I don't know if anybody has accomplished this or not, but when I was unloading a trailer, I managed to tip it over. By tipping it over, I mean going so the front end went down, the back end came up. I was unloading a load of glass, and there were, in this case, and it's not supposed to be loaded this way, but there was 20,000 pounds of glass in front of the dollies. So I'd taken the glass off the back, and the crates were big enough so I couldn't just set one back on again. So I'd finished unloading the back of the trailer, and as I backed out, the back end of the trailer started to rise, and pretty soon the mud flaps were eye level, right? So they had to get some machines out there to, now I'm setting this up way too long, but they had to bring some big forklifts out there to lift up the front of that trailer so I could finish unloading it. Well, Bill's car was in the way. So we had to get Bill from his office. This was an evening. And there was no, he understood what had happened. And he said, "Well, I got to take a picture of this." but there was no say, "Wow, you shouldn't have done that. You should have known better." And he just came out and, you know, he just saw something unusual. And there was no idea of, I would have known better than you. So that's a couple of Bill Marvin stories. But yeah, he had to have a picture of that. Anyway. But Bill was a good guy. That's all I can say about him. And C.S. Lewis wrote, "If anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. And it's a biggish step, too. At least nothing whatever can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means that you are very conceited indeed." And then looking at, before we read the scripture and spend a moment in prayer, I just want to read a little introduction here. Before Christ came into the world, the worst thing that could be said about a man was that he was humble. I mean, that may not be exactly the best way to put it, but you think of the Jewish leaders of the time and how they seemed to lack humility. They seemed to want to lord it over people and think of others as so much less than themselves. And we think of the Jewish leader praying and the tax collector and his prayer. We think of those kind of things. But humility was considered to be a quality of a slave, not a free man. And Christ came to teach a different concept. The way up is down. To be exalted, men must humble themselves. And he illustrated this principle through his life and ministry. Now, you know, when Christ came to earth, fully God, fully man, and he presented himself as a servant through his life and also through his ministry. One of the characteristics of this world today is selfishness, and so few are truly humble. Today, men can talk for hours about themselves, and they are always the hero of their own stories. We kind of like to build ourselves up a little bit. We tell about our accomplishments. We want people to know what we have done, supposedly through our own efforts. But they never tell about the times they failed. An athlete or a ball player would talk about his home runs and all the things he has done on the ball field, but you don't hear about the strikeouts, the errors he's made, the fumbles. And we need to guard against this type of attitude within our local church, our local congregation. We need to be able to see ourselves as God sees us. Now I'd like for you to stand. I'm going to read the scripture this morning. And it's Luke 14, verses 1 through 11. Luke 14, verses 1 through 11. And reading in Jesus' name. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Lord, we thank you again this day for your word, and we thank you for this passage. And I just pray that as we read your word and think on it, that it will reveal things in ourselves that we don't always recognize. And I just pray that your truth will bring us to a place of knowledge of you and a knowledge of ourselves, Lord. And now, Lord, I just pray now that we can look at your word and understand what you have for us this morning. And I just pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. C.S. Lewis writes, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." What's the meaning of humility? Definition I found was not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive, a spirit of deference or submission. And you know, I think about I was not in the military, but I think about what I know of the military. There's training to be submissive to those to those in positions of authority over you? And do we have that spirit of submission towards Christ? It's recognizing that God and others are responsible for the achievements in my life. You know, when we make achievements, they're not done on our own. We have to recognize that all good things, whether it's material possessions or accomplishments, we have to recognize that God is in all of it. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" How do we estimate the things that we have accomplished, or in this context, the things that we have received? All the blessings that we enjoy, we've received. They've been given to us through... And if that's true, why do we boast about things, the things we have, the accomplishments we've made? Others around us can see what we have accomplished through Christ. And I want to go to Romans 12:3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And that kind of goes against the worldly philosophy around us, doesn't it? Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We need to recognize who we are and where our accomplishments and our gifts come from. We've all been dealt a measure, and we all have different strengths and different weaknesses. The world, you know, the world tells us that in order to get ahead, we have to sell ourselves. By selling ourselves, I mean build ourselves up, make others want to give us things, whether it's a higher position. The world tells us we need to promote ourselves. And I know of one guy who, when he had applied for a position at Marvin there, I was in on the meeting, and he was an applicant for a position in our department. And he was asked if what he thought his strengths were. And I remember he kind of said, "Well, you know, my supervisor and my lead man are here. They know what my strengths and weaknesses are. Don't ask me, ask them." And that was a something to think about. And according to the world, we must learn to assert ourselves, to put ourselves in positions of worldly power. And oftentimes, even in some churches, God's word is not preached, or it seems as if it's out of date. We need to be in God's word, as I've often mentioned, to find ourselves and who we are and what God has for us, and pray for Him to show us our strengths and weaknesses. And reading again from C.S. Lewis, "Catch a man at the moment when he is really poor in spirit, and smuggle into his mind the gratifying reflection, 'By Jove, I'm being humble.' And almost immediately pride at his own humility will appear." You know, if we think of ourselves as being humble, boy, you know, as C.S. Lewis wrote, "By Jove, I'm being humble." That is a prideful statement, isn't it? So it's a hard thing. We want humility, but yet we don't want to be proud of our humility. We have examples of humility in the Bible, and as I mentioned in a prayer, I mentioned the Apostle Paul, and And the Apostle Paul, you know, he would make claims, and kind of maybe we would think that he was boasting about things, but truly he boasted about only one thing, and that was the cross of Christ and what Christ did for him and us. Galatians 6:14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, Paul could have easily boasted about his position that he held before his true conversion. He could have, you know, he had a heritage. He was a Roman citizen. He was high up in the hierarchy of the Jewish faith and in the Jewish ranks of leadership. And he didn't boast about what he had done for Christ, but he boasted about what Christ had done for him. Do we boast about he who has saved us, he who has offered us salvation, he who we put our trust in for everything? And the other example we have is the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we think of Jesus as being God and man. He came here to be a servant when he was the creator and the ruler of the universe. But he exhibited humility beyond anything that that we could accomplish. And we think about the night before he was crucified at the Last Supper, up in that upper room, he served the disciples, as you know, washed their feet as a humble servant. And Paul expresses his humility in Philippians 2:8. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Here he is, the creator of the universe, the creator of everything that we see and experience, and the creator of us. Here he became obedient to the Father, even to the death on the cross. C.S. Lewis writes, "As long as you are proud, you cannot know God." And we have to realize our limitations. We have to realize that we are not in control of everything we think we're in control of. God needs us to humble ourselves and go to him. And what does it take to develop humility? A right attitude toward God. Do we have the right attitude toward God as we come here and worship? Is our goal not only in the worship service but in our lives? Do we live our lives to worship and glorify God? We need to be humbled toward God. And you know, we talk about having the fear of God. I think that means that we need to have a high view of who God is and that he is in control, and we need to humble ourselves before him. Do we see God in his majesty? Do we look at him as a majestic figure, as the king of the universe? Do we look at him that way? Are we humbled before him as we realize who he is? In every occasion in the scripture in which man is privileged to view God, if we view God in his glory, the result should be humility toward him. We need to have the right attitude toward God as we live our lives. And we need to have the right attitude toward God's word. A person who is truly humble before God will also be humble before God's word. And then we go to the Old Testament, 2 Kings 22, 11 through 13. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Akahim the son of Saphan, Akbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah the servant of the king, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Do we obey the words of the book as a congregation? Do we seek to follow His word and to follow it not out of context but in its entirety? You know, I do use the lectionary or pericope, but there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get in that lectionary or pericope, whatever the proper term is. And we need to be in God's word and to realize what it says to us. And as I was doing this, I thought about, okay, the word of God isn't just a source. I mean, the gospel is important. Knowledge about Him is important. But do we seek through the word, do we seek to find His will for our lives after we have accepted the gospel, after we've accepted Him? Does the word speak to us about how we live our daily lives? If the Lord Jesus Christ would appear to us this evening or this day and instruct us concerning the importance to go into all the world with the gospel, we wouldn't hesitate to obey. If He was here standing in front of us today, if our Lord and Savior was here speaking to us audibly and giving us instructions to go out and reach others, would we obey that if He was here? Well, He is here through His word. If He instructed us on the importance of anything, we would immediately obey Him, I would hope. And we must realize that that He speaks to us now through His word. And do we obey? And we need to have the right attitude towards His grace and what He has done for us. Through His grace, He has given us different talents. He has given us ways to use those talents to serve Him. So if we are humble before God, we will also be humble about the gifts we have, our abilities, and the things we have attained. We will realize and gratefully acknowledge that all that He is and all that He has, or we have, everything that we are and what we have comes from His hand. Without His hand of mercy and grace upon us, we would be spiritually paupers. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's saying that it is all of grace, but you know, we often want to claim some credit for what we have accomplished. The only thing we can claim credit for is accepting the gift. And through accepting that gift, submitting ourselves to Him and living our life according to our understanding of the gift that He has given us, and realizing the importance of that gift and the miraculous thing done in our lives through that gift. And as we as we realize what that gift means to us, do we want to serve the person who has given us that gift? In 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And I talk about Paul quite a bit because the transformation in his life is so evident and so remarkable and miraculous. And that miracle, when we accept that gift and when we have repented and come to him, that gift is bestowed upon us just as it was given to Paul. It's recorded in Scripture, and we believe Scripture, and we look at how he looks at himself as the least of the apostles, and he doesn't think of himself worthy to be called an apostle because of his previous persecution of the church and of the believers. But his grace toward him, Paul, was not in vain. And once he received that gift of grace, look at the labor he did. Look at what he went through for the cause of Christ. Are we willing to go through those things? Imprisoned and persecuted himself, persecuted by the ones that he joined in to persecute the Christians, persecuted by his own people, as to say, from before. And do we have the right attitude towards God's grace? And does it reflect in our lives? Do we reflect the characteristics of Christ in our life? We don't have the ability to be exactly like Christ, but we can reflect his characteristics. Are we truly humble? The opposite of humility is a spirit of pride, and that spirit doesn't come from God, the prideful spirit. And we need to learn humility. And the closing scripture I'm going to read is 1 Peter 5, verses 5 to 7. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." It seems kind of upside down in the view of the world. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? And do we realize that we can cast our cares upon him and that he does truly care for us? Do we claim that this morning? Do we believe it in the way we live our lives? Do we show it? And as I do most Sundays, I just plead with you, if you haven't confessed and repented and committed your life to God, would you be willing to humble yourself and submit to him today? So I just encourage you to submit to him and receive that gift of grace that he so freely gives. And if our life is filled with pride and selfishness, we do need to surrender to him. And let's be honest before God. Let's be honest about who we are in him, and accept his gift of grace and live for him. Live for him with humility and selflessness, and God will reward you. Lord, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray that as we've gone through these notes that there's been something there of value, Lord, and I just pray that your word will work in our lives, and that we will look at your word with humility and submissiveness to you, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for this day, and I just pray that as we go through our week, before we meet again next Sunday, that we will live lives of submission to you. And we just thank you for who you are, and we just pray that we can be who you want us to be through you. In your name, amen. Let's turn in our hymnals now to page number 441, Is Your All on the Altar. I think that's pretty fitting.